Luke chapter 15, we're going to start reading at verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. One sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And now let's go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's where we'll stop right there. And I can't explain how this works. Sometimes the Lord will give me a scripture for 2 or 3 weeks and I can read and study, and then sometimes he gives it to me when I get up here. I guess if I prayed more, he'd send it to me a little sooner. But I have to preach what he gives me. So if we had a thought or a text, it would be looking for the lost. So we read the verse in chapter 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. And then we read the scripture about the parable of the man having 100 sheep that left the 99 in the wilderness and went to find that sheep which was lost. I guess the parallel in these scriptures is looking for the lost. Saving the lost. You see, friend, it don't just happen that somebody gets saved. It's not just luck. It's not just making a decision. Somebody has to be looking for you if you're going to be saved. And it says in the New Testament, in one place, it talks about the good shepherd. It said, the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Now that's a good shepherd. It talks about the hireling also, doesn't it? Somebody that's just paid money to watch the sheep. And you know, most of the folks that don't have any ownership or any investment in anything, the first time the wolf comes howling, they run. They're not going to go out on a limb. They're not going to face any danger. They're not going to put any hard labor in because it's not their sheep. But aren't you glad you belong to the Good Shepherd?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he knows you by name? And you know his voice. You know how you know it? Because he spoke to you personally. He speaks to you when it's time to feed. He speaks to you to put you out of danger. Over in... I guess we quoted it earlier, Psalm 23rd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Listen, friends, we belong to the good shepherd. Now listen, looking for the lost. In this parable, it talks about the man leaving 100, the 100 sheep, the 99 sheep to go find that one which was lost. At one time, that was me. And at one time, that was you. And he could have let us just wander around out there in the wilderness until the wolf came. He could have let us wander in where the wolf in sheep's clothing was. He could have let the roaring lion just eat us up. But he left the 99 to find that one that was lost. And here we sit tonight on a Sunday night around 7 p.m. and we're in his house and we're in his shelter. And we're in with the herd, and everything is okay. But somewhere out there, there's one that's lost. Somewhere out there, there's one that's one. Where are they, preacher? If we're looking for them, where should we look? Well, John asks you nearly every service, do you know somebody that's lost? That's a good place to start. Because you know, in this day and age, you can find a church member on every corner. You can find somebody that professes salvation no matter which way you turn. But a lost man is hard to find. One that will say, I don't know the Lord. One that will say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of that. It's hard to find somebody that will say, I'm a sinner in this day and age. Somebody that will acknowledge that they're lost and on their way to hell. You know why? Because Satan tells everybody they're okay. His job is to convince you that you'll be all right just doing what you're doing. You're an okay person. Why, you don't hurt anybody. Why, you're good to everybody. Good men go to hell.
Right. Amen.
It's not all drug addicts. It's not all evil men. And you don't have to be head over heels in sin to go there. You just have to reject the good shepherd when he calls your name. That's all it takes. It's not full of evil men. It's full of men that rejected the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be born again. Aren't you glad that when the good shepherd called, you came running?
Amen.
When he called your name.
Praise the Lord.
The night I got saved, he didn't call J.D. Strange. He didn't call my dad's name. He didn't call my mom's name. I was the only one in the room, but I heard it ring loud and clear when the good shepherd called my name.
Help him, Lord.
Amen.
He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. It also says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He did. He did. He hung between the heaven and earth, was nailed to the cross, shed his blood for a little old whiny sheep like me. Oh, what a shepherd we got. That he would give his life for little old sheep like us, scrawny, filthy, watered in the mud, in the muck, in the dirt. And the Lord, our good shepherd, gave his life. Somebody died for you. It was the good shepherd.
Yes, thank you.
All right, you pray for a little while. Looking for the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now listen, I believe that salvation comes through the church and there is no other way to get it.
Amen.
Did Jesus not tell Nicodemus, and you pray for me, did Jesus not tell Nicodemus, and you know Nicodemus was a churchgoer? Do you know he was an officer in the church? He was a good man. But what did Jesus say to him? He said, you must be born again. Now, you all with any knowledge of having babies, they don't come out from under the cabbage patch, do they? You don't turn the cabbage leaf over. The stork doesn't bring them. They require a mother and a father to be born. There is no other way to have a baby. If we're going to see new birth on this altar, we've got a father that I preached to you about this morning. And the church is the bride of Christ. She is the mother. I remember one time, Mason was about two and a half or so. Tammy had a little in-home daycare. And she had her hands full with a dozen kids. She had a dear friend that also did daycare. And she asked her to come and watch the kids so that she could go to town. So she could run about a mile and a quarter up to the bank. And Mason was attached to Mommy. And Tammy hadn't much more than got out of the driveway until Mason went up the stairs. Well, it was his house. Went up the stairs and out the front door and out after her. The girl didn't know. She had no idea. It wasn't her fault. The door should have been locked. But in just 5 minutes or so, a lady that I know well from White Pine spotted him over on Airport Road. Standing on the edge of the road on Airport Road. Now, just no more from here to the highway from our house, but that was a pretty good little walk. Yeah. He wanted to see Mama. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see Mama. And you know who went nuts the second they found out that he wasn't home? Mama did. She was all to pieces. It was just a few minutes that he was found and returned back to our home. But she was still all to pieces over what could have been in just those few little minutes.
Yeah.
We've got some lost sheep.
Yes.
Baba, how you feel about that? And they're in danger. And they're out. Where are they, our lost sheep, preacher? Where are we supposed to be looking for sheep? They're in our homes. They're our neighbors. They're the folks that we work with. They're members of our extended family. Yes. And they're in a world of hurt.
Bless him, Lord.
A world of misery. How do you know, preacher? Because life without the good shepherd is miserable.
That's right.
They're in danger. One breath away from hell.
Yeah.
Help him, Lord.
One heartbeat away from living a life of misery and agony and being tormented night and day forever. Is that where you want your lost sheep to go? How we need to be looking for our lost sheep. Now, I thought of this. The shepherd left the 99 and went to find that sheep that was lost. Mm-hmm. Most of you are like me. This is not our first day in the church.
Amen.
We have been around the block a time or two. Some of us got the gray, and some of us got the spots that aren't so gray to prove it. We're a little seasoned, you might say. And we've had dark days. And we've had days that we wish the sun would shine. And we've had days that we prayed for the Lord to come by and be with us for a little while. But I'm going to say this. If the shepherd needs to leave in order for that little lost sheep to be found, I've been in a race for a little while. I can take a day of storms. I can make it through a dark, dark night.
Yeah.
So bring in, Lord, the lost sheep.
Amen. I've seen folks.
They treat church like a roller coaster. It's all right when it's at the top. Everybody throws their hands up as they're going down. When it reaches the bottom, they get off the ride. You better stay with it.
Amen.
Because it might be your lost sheep that he's looking for next.
That's right.
What man of you having 100 sheep would leave the 99 and search until he found that one that was lost? Today is the 19th, 18th, there's 5 weeks until we get to revival. Maybe we should start looking.
Amen.
Maybe we should start looking for our lost sheep.
Yes.
Maybe it ought to matter to us a little more. Because I told you what's going to happen to them out there in the wilderness, out there in the darkness alone. You know when the enemy, if you watch those nature shows, the enemy, they won't hardly bother the one in the middle of the herd. But they'll find the one that's straggling. They'll find the one that's limping. The one that's broken. The one that's kind of staggered away from the herd. You know why? Because they have nobody. They are weak. They have no support. I'm going to say this. You better stay with the herd because it's dangerous out there.
Amen.
They'll pick out the weakest one that's the farthest away from the herd. Young people, would you hear me today? You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say things you wish you could take back. You're going to do things that you will regret. Here's your pastor saying, I did it. Here's a fellow member of the church that would admit that he's made a few mistakes, I'm sure. Here's another one. There's another one. We all fail. We all come short. But your safest place is with the herd.
Looking for sheep.
What good is church? What benefit's that going to do me? Well, let's see. When you live with the sheep, when you live with the shepherd, every meal's provided.
Mm-hmm.
Ask David. A good cold drink of water is always right there when you're with the good shepherd. Thou anointest my head with oil. I didn't really understand what that meant until about a year or so ago. I saw a little explanation. Apparently there is a parasite, a fly, that likes to get in the sheep's ears. And they will annoy them in such a way that sheep will bust his head against the rock, trying to get rid of that aggravation, trying to get rid of that misery. He'll hurt himself until he kills himself. So the shepherd anoints his head with oil to keep the flies away, just to give him a little bit of sanity. Where could I go but to the good shepherd?
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Bless his heart.
Oh. When he findeth it, he layeth it on his shoulders because it's been crippled. He layeth it on his shoulders because its walk is messed up.
Yeah.
It's injured. It's wounded. Yeah. It's been out there outside of the herd. And he lays it on his shoulders. What's he doing? He's burning. It's burning. Oh, you've seen that thing, that old poem about the footsteps in the sand, and the man questions why that they wouldn't 2 sets of footsteps, and the Savior says, that's where I was carrying you. There's been a few times I couldn't take another step, so I called on the Lord. I called on the Good Shepherd, and he carried me, and we made it through. The valley may be long, but thanks be to God. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you for long. I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. When I get to where I can't take another step, I've got the Good Shepherd to get me through the valley.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
Looking for lost sheep. Aren't you glad somebody's looking for you?
Yes.
Old Satan will say, you're done, boy. You're all alone. You've done about all you can do. And he'd be right. Except, I've got a good shepherd.
Amen.
Old friend. Laid it on his shoulders. And not only, every time I turn around, they're up there wandering around and in trouble. Here they are again calling on me. I know he feels that way about me sometimes. They used to sing a song. I know Lisa knows the song. I think I've heard her request it a time or two. I pray my way out of trouble. I believe Bonnie and him used to sing that. I pray my way out of trouble. You know what a sheep does, or a little wounded animal does, when it's hurt, when it's injured, when it feels desperate, when it feels all alone? It cries out, don't it? Oh, have you been there? Have you been there and been injured and hurt and harmed and felt like you were all alone? And all that was left for you to do was to cry out for mercy. I'm here. Let me tell you something. He's not of them that are of a broken heart, and will save such as be of a contrite spirit. Cry out. Woo, cry out, little lost sheep. He's not. And he'll hear you, and he'll save you. Lays it on his shoulders. Satan will say, looks like you'd be ashamed of yourself. That's not what the good shepherd says. He comes bringing you in rejoicing.
Amen.
So glad you made it. So glad that you're safe in his arms. So glad he values you. If he didn't think you were worth it, he'd have never left that idea and died. But he stepped out because he loves you and he wants to make you whole. He wants to save you because he's one of your little, one of his little sheep. I won't be much longer. I don't know how I got into position, but for a pageant, I've had to try to round up several times, find somebody that had some sheep that we could use. Go out and check on them, things like that. This past year, I was out there with some of them. And I guess the terminology is bleat. They'll bleat. And you'll hear them crying. You'll hear them making that noise that they make. Oh, listen. Little sheep, it's about time we make some noise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
So, and maybe if we could all get together, maybe if we could come together in one mind and one accord, and my little bleating and your little bleating, and we bleat together, maybe that little lost sheep can hear the herd and come running. Tells his neighbors, come and rejoice with me, for I found that little sheep that was lost. I'll guarantee you, me and John had a fist fight on the altar here. The Plain Talk would have a story about it in the next edition. But we could have 30 saved in revival, and there not be one word mentioned. I sang that song every once in a while. It never made the papers. It never made the evening news when I took off the old man and I put on the new. My name never has been in the paper for being a Christian. It's okay, the Plain Talk don't have to record it. Nashville don't have to be in the records down there in Nashville. It's already been recorded.
Amen.
It's already written down. The Good Shepherd knows who I am. I'm one of his little sheep. He knows me by name. And I've heard him come. Now listen, the night I got saved was the only time I've heard him call my name. I've been laying in the still of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard the Good Shepherd, my wife laying right beside me, sound asleep, didn't have a clue. That's not to say he didn't call her, maybe at another time, but he knows this little sheep, and he knows that he has to get me in the still of the night with this quits working, and this listens to him. Oh, I'm here to tell you, you can hear him if you listen. And you know what he's saying to you, little sheep? He's saying, come and drink of the water of life freely. I've got a pool for you that you can drink out of. It's fresh, it's clean. Come and be refreshed. Come and lay down beside the still waters. Looking for lost sheep. Are you okay if the Good Shepherd has to go look for that one? Can you make it a night? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying to get to revival, we're going to have to get a little uncomfortable. To get to revival, we may have to get down in sackcloth and ashes. To get to revival, we may have to do a little crying out of our own. I'm worried that the modern church in this day and age has lost its purpose. We're to be a soul-saving station. We're to be a place where little lost sheep can be delivered. For there's more joy over one sinner that cometh to repentance than 99 just persons that needeth no repentance. All right. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who was the Son of Man? None other than the Good Shepherd. Who was that? That's Jesus. This scripture in the 19th chapter follows this story of a man that was little of stature. If the world had been counting people that needed to meet Jesus, he probably wouldn't have been one of them. He was little of stature. He was little thought of. He was overlooked. But he had a desire to see Jesus. The world might not have thought of him, but the Savior did. Because years and years before Zacchaeus was ever mentioned in the Scripture, before he was ever born, the Lord placed a sycamore tree, planted it, and it grew, and it got strong, and the limbs were low, and the leaves were wide for protection, and it was everything that Zacchaeus needed to get to Jesus. Right here, at the bottom, we've got everything a sinner needs to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Jesus could have went down to the Pharisee's house that was judgmental of him. Jesus could have went to King Herod's palace. But Jesus passed right by that tree. And you know why his path took him that way? Because he planted the tree.
That's right.
And he knew there was a little lost sheep stuck up in that tree that needed him. And what did he do when he saw the little lost sheep up in the tree? He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, listen, don't you tell me God don't know what we're going through. Zacchaeus was up in the tree and God called him by name. He'd never met him. Yeah. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down this for this day. I must abide. I must abide at thy house.
Amen.
Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you want Jesus, if you want to be saved, you've got to make an effort. You got to look for him. You got to desire him. You got to want him. And if you call out his name, the first step you make, the second will be easier until you find your way down where the Lord can save your soul.
Amen.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 4. For he must first needs go through Samaria. Was Jesus a Jew? Did you know the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another? And yet Jesus decided that he needed to go through Samaria. You know why? Because there was a little lost sheep down there at the well. Isn't it peculiar that he ended up at the well? And this woman ended up at the well? Do you know the story of that well? That was Jacob's well. That was one of God's little sheep. That was one of God's forerunners. That was one of God's men that had took the time back in his day, hundreds of years ago, to dig by hand. That wasn't easy work, was it? But he dug it by hand until he got down to the water. And it was a solid source of water that wouldn't run dry. And so Jacob and his ancestors, his progeny, his children, used that well and their flocks for years and years. There came a time when it got hard to use the well because the enemies of God's people filled that well back up. And later on down in the Scripture we read where some of Jacob's Children went and dug that out again and made it available. There are times in churches where things get hard. There are times in churches when things are hard, when the Spirit's hard to be found. There are times in churches when the number gets down and when it raises back up. But let me tell you something. No matter where your church is at, stay with the well.
Amen.
Jesus, being weary, sat thus on the well. And you know the story of the Samaritan woman. She had had five husbands. She'd been divorced five times. And the one that she was with right then was not her own husband. It was somebody else's.
That's true.
She wouldn't. The Virgin Mary. She wouldn't. One that was spotless. She was spotted. You might say she was up to here in sin. She wasn't even a Jewish person or a Christian, as we would call Christians. She was of a different religion. Might have been Muslim. I don't know, but it wasn't what the Jewish people believed. We hear her story about her father sitting in this mountain when we're being ought to worship. You say Jerusalem's where men ought to worship. And Jesus even corrected her on that. The good shepherd said, time is coming now, is it? True worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It wasn't the 18 articles of faith that drew you down to the altar. It wasn't the 10 commandments that saved your soul. It was the Holy Ghost that spoke to you.
Yes, amen.
It was the Good Shepherd
amen.
That spoke to you. Now there are three, and I wish I could remember this correctly. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, I believe. Then it talks about three that bear witness on earth. But let me tell you something. It also says these three are one. That's him right there, too. That's him right there. Well, I wish the Lord would speak to me. He wrote you a book. Why don't you read it?
That's right.
Oh, okay, preacher. I'll pull it out. And I'll look. Well, that's well and good. But there's a lot more of it in this. You see, friend, they went nuts last Sunday night. Usher sang the halftime show. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift was there. And they don't care a thing about your lost sheep.
That's right.
If your lost sheep dies, it'll never cross their mind. They'll say, oh, that's too bad. Now let's go party and make some more money. We've got people that worship these celebrities. They will spend thousands traveling from one city to another to see that person perform over and over. They're not going to save you, little lost sheep. You better be listening for the good shepherd. You better be listening for his voice.
That's right.
I'm pretty old. I've met a few. I met Minnesota Fats one time when I was a teenager. I had an aunt that did the Forks of the River Jam. I met Earl Thomas Conley when he came. I actually got to shake their hands. I guarantee you neither one of them remembered who I was. They could have cared less. But some sheep with the herd knew I was a little lost sheep. And they bleated. And they cried, Some I heard, some they did in secret. They cried, they called for me, and thanks be to God, I heard the voice of the Good Shepherd come down my way and say, come, I've got what you need. You don't need to be lost. You don't need to die and go to hell. I can save you. Come, drink of the water of life. Come, lie down in the green pastures. Come, I've got the perfect place for you,
little
sheep. We worry too much about what we've got instead of enjoying what we have.
Amen.
We have the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm a worrier. Most nights between 3 and 4, I'll wake up and the wheels start turning. And you know the only way I can slow them down at all, I can bleed out a little bit to the Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he can do? Yeah, I'm a grown man. Old man. 240 pounds, so. You don't think I'd need such as that. But the Good Shepherd can coddle me in his arms. The Good Shepherd can anoint my head with oil. The Good Shepherd can love me and nurture me and care for me until the wheels slow down and I can ease right back off to sleep in peace, knowing that the Good Shepherd has got me. I can't tell you we'll see anybody saved in the revival, because I don't know. And let me tell you this. I do believe we need to do what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen.
And if he wants me to take some little lost sheep by the hand,
mm-hmm,
and say, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
If you want to be saved, you can be.
That's right.
But don't look for me to say, now come on, honey.
Right.
Now come on. Amen. It won't do me any good to drag a little into the altar. You know what that'll do? They'll be deceived.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that stuff.
No.
If the Holy Spirit is not strong enough to draw them to the altar, who am I to think I could do anything with it?
Right.
I can hurt a youngin. And you can too. Now, if the Lord tells you to go to somebody and to speak to them, he'll tell you the words to say.
That's right.
And you say those words, and then you leave it alone. I've seen good men. I've not seen it here, thank the Lord. But I've seen good men, because a sinner man came to the revival or came to the church service, and everybody knew he was a sinner, and he knew he was a sinner. Some old cold church member would go running to him every time and beg and plead and pull and carry on. You know what you're doing? You're insulting them. You're making them angry and giving them that much more reason not to come running to the Good Shepherd.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right.
You know why church attendance is down everywhere? Because we stop providing what sheep need. They come in, they go out, and they're the same old lost sinner they were, and they're not affected in the least. We've got to provide a good pasture for them to eat in. We've got to provide still waters, cool waters for them to drink out of.
Amen.
They need to see there is something good about being in church.
That's right.
If I come in miserable and I leave miserable, why they want miserable? They can already have that wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher, is your life perfect? No, honey. No, it's not. But I can say this, even in the bad times, I've got something good on the inside.
Amen.
I've got something that can make me smile. I've got something that brings me joy. I've got something, and in the middle of this storm can give me peace. What is it? It's the Good Shepherd. That's what it is. Aren't you glad to be one of the Good Shepherd's little sheep?
Amen.
Aren't you glad when you straggle off a little bit, he'll say, "Now come here, boy. Come on.
Yeah.
Get right back in here."
Yeah.
Let me tell this, and then I'll hush. So during the pageant this year, we all know and love Chuck. Chuck was helping with the sheep. We put two back here. We put two down there. And the first night of the pageant, he said, "Here, Mike, you take these two." So I took those and walked them around here. I just took hold of their leash and walked, and they walked. Sometimes they'd tug a little bit and say, "Now come on." Well, Chuck got a hold of the one that wanted to stray away. Mm-hmm. And it happened to be the biggest one of the four. Mm-hmm. And that thing laid down on him. And he had to holler on that thing. He was trying to push him. And he was dragging him, and the sheep just lay on the ground, just dragging. That'd be me. That'd be me. I'm that stubborn sheep. That's me. I know the Good Shepherd just wants the best for me.
That's right.
And here I go thinking about what I want. What I want don't matter. It's what the Good Shepherd wants for me that makes all the difference. It only took one time dragging that sheep down there, and the next night it walked. Sometimes if we don't want to listen to the Good Shepherd, we got to endure a little bit of pain until he gets us where he wants us to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.